Morning!
Morning!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal. Good morning, Bunty. Greetings from San Francisco.
Hey, Rohit. How are things in San Francisco today?
Oh, wonderful. Nice weather. Just getting along, you know, winding down the term here in a few weeks. How are things at your end?
In London, it was fine. Today, I went to the car wash to get my car washed because washing a car at my age is proving to be more exercise than is necessary. And I realized that most London car washes have been taken over by the Romanian mafia. So they don't speak English. It is a very odd one. So I navigated that peacefully because, you know, I was trying to be very ultra blokey. But I suddenly realized that these guys probably reassemble AK-47s for a hobby. So I thought, you know, so yeah, car wash was my most exciting day, Romanian mafia car wash. But okay. So what are we going to talk about on this story today?
So there's a very charming story, and I'd like to talk about it. It brought back a lot of memories for me, for my time in Calcutta. And of course, it's been many years since I left. You still have family in Calcutta and visit fairly frequently. This is from Scroll, published May 3rd, a few days ago. It's a story by Chandrima Pal, titled "A Scooter Riding Bookseller Has Served Kolkata Better Than Amazon Could Ever Hope To." It's about a gentleman called Tarun Kumar Shaw, who on his scooter will deliver a book for you, and somehow he miraculously manages to source whatever book it is that you want.
This is a legendary one because I think one of the things that's happened in Calcutta over the last decade or so, and I speak of myself going back there every year, particularly during the pujas, the Durga pujas, this culture of home delivery is a massive thing, right? A home delivery of medicine, sweets. So both the cause and the effect are, you know, so people can get home delivered junk food, home delivered medicine. So the fact that there's a guy who is home delivering books and taking on the technology bigwigs is no surprise to me. What is surprising is that he has lasted for as long as he has done. And probably that is a function of the loyal customer base where, and you know, there's a peculiar, so bongs generally have a massive ego trip about being intellectuals, right? So this is inherent to any opinionated intellectuals, right? So going with this territory is reading random books, right? So when other people will be Enid Blyton, you'll be Karl Marx, right? So this guy has realized that the sweet spot is vague books that are not accessible, right? And he's catering to that Bengali fetish of books that other people don't read, but I do, right? Now, that's the first point. The second point, it's actually a glorious thing that is happening, that here is a guy on a scooter running a family business, taking on a technological giant by providing a service that these guys are failing to, which I think is a bigger... So the kind of nominal critique of Bengali intellectualism of trying to dial up, every conversation has to be meta, and therefore every reading has to be loaded. But in the slipstream of that is this guy doing something wonderful. So really, truly a touching thing. And I'm so glad that Chandrima wrote about this guy, and I'm so glad we are talking about it.
Yeah, it's, you know, it brought back a lot of memories for me. First, I should also mention that it was Karl Marx's birthday 2 days ago. So, you know, it's kind of an apposite time to be having this conversation. You know, this reminded me of a similar gentleman. When I was in Calcutta in school, there was a gentleman who used to come to my father's office. Father's office, I forget exactly where it was, somewhere off the Park Street. Was that it?
Yeah.
Area. And the gentleman himself, I think he worked a modest job in probably a private firm or a government office. He visited our home also a couple of times. And my dad, every month, would buy me and my brother couple of books from this guy. This gentleman would have a briefcase. It was a briefcase that was, you know, it had seen many years. Its leather was worn, and I still remember its edges being faded. Yeah, and he would bring very, very interesting books. And I still have some of the books. Well, I may have one of them. But I do remember my dad buying a very beautiful edition of Huckleberry Finn, which was hardback, and then a marvelous paperback edition of the collected works of Arthur Conan Doyle, or the complete Sherlock Holmes. Sorry, it was the complete Sherlock Holmes. And that particular volume, I don't know if I ever lent it to you, but I had six or seven different friends who borrowed it at different points of time. So in my mind, this is one of the images of Calcutta and, one of the aspects of Calcutta culture that I always keep with me. I was very touched and moved by and also amused by two other things that Mr. Shaw said. One is he said that for me, the Hunt, he doesn't judge. People want Sidney Sheldon, that's fine. People want, Jean-Paul Sartre, that's fine. He said, for me, the Hunt is the chase. So I'm thinking of this, Jason Bourne for books kind of guy on his two-wheeler. Other point, though, the one thing he's annoyed about is people who, say that, I want gold embossed books, and they bring a sack and say, "किताबों से भर दीजिए." And the fact that he's saying it in Hindi, gives us a sense of, who these people might be. I won't say any more because I don't want to be accused of prejudice. And finally, he's very upset that, Bengalis are now watching a lot of soap operas in the Bengali women. That in the afternoons after lunch, women would retire with a novella, literary magazine, or even a mythological book. Now it is just crap on TV. This is fantastic. I mean, this is, I'm definitely going to teach this.
Yes, I think you should. I think this guy is making a bigger point that, because it's not that we are time challenged, but it's how we are using our time that is changing, right? So previously you would spend 2 hours reading a book. Nowadays you've got like so many media options. It doesn't matter which part of the world you are in. So it's a very strong choice that you have to make to say that, I opt to read and I opt to read a physical paper book. And both of those are really interesting points for me. Two things that you mentioned in the middle. One is purchase of books and display of books, right? That again is a very loaded thing. The Encyclopedia Britannica made a living in the late 70s, early 80s in India by selling gullible people backdated encyclopedia sets of 24. They were either in 12, 18, or 24. And basically, the fact that it was on a shelf in the home was a signal to anybody who was coming to the home that we value education. And whether or not those books, those encyclopedias were referred, Encyclopedia Britannica, they have a roving salesman who did that. So display of books and kind of signaling knowledge is a very interesting thing. That was prevalent in Delhi and Calcutta. And the other thing is borrowing books. I have, it's very interesting you mentioned because as I have grown older, I am very selective about how and to whom I lend
Oh,
books.
completely, completely.
And equally, I'm equally loath to recommend people books because, if I tell somebody that read Murakami and I insist that you will have to, that man is a legend, and then he comes back and says, couldn't understand, boss. Why does he listen to jazz records? So, I have decided. And then if he like reverses on me and says that, have you read Carl Sagan? You must. He sees the universe in a different way. I don't get science fiction. So yeah, borrowing lending books is sensitive. Giving fundas on which book to read is also sensitive. And but this guy is a wonderful institution. The fact that he's roving around Calcutta as a Jason Bourne, and I know the dig that he's making at people who say, "Kitab bhar dijiye," because that's an old fault line in Calcutta between Bengalis and non-Bengalis. I'll segue into one story. There's a friend of mine, Noddy, who used to work in the Telegraph. They had a sports desk. Ganguly was going playing, leading the Indian team in South Africa, and one of his kind of clerks picked up a fax. He couldn't read, brought it to Noddy and said, what is the fax saying? So Noddy said that fax is saying that Hansi Kronje has said that Sourav Ganguly can't play pace bowling, right? The guy said, Hansi Kronje, he will say that on Bengali, right? So in the Calcutta universe, the world divides into Bengalis and non-Bengalis, right? So Hansi Kronje, South African guy, said Ganguly couldn't take on pace bowling. That's because he's non-Bengali. So this fault line is an old one. It's an old one.
I think on that fault line, we should move towards wrapping the episode up. We will, one of the things that arose in this conversation is about the degradation of public discourse, as it were. And in a separate episode, we will actually talk about WhatsApp, the WhatsApp phenomenon, because I think that's the antithesis, the negative counterpoint of the world that Tarun Shah in his own way is trying to preserve. All right, so we'll be back soon. See you guys very shortly. All right, Bunty, take care.
ठीक है, चलो।